Before I start the class, I'll have to repeat the story, which I repeat everywhere, but it seems sometimes to no avail. I was sitting Prabhupada's room at Mayapur. Oh, maybe it was 1975. And Mangal Arati was going on, and the devotees were having a rip-roaring kirtan. And Prabhupada was listening and listening with his eyes closed. And then he looked at me and said, "They say Gadadhar, but I say Gadadhar." Do you get it? I was singing Sri Advaita Gadadhar, and you were singing Sri Advaita Gadadhar. Prabhupada said, "They are singing Gadadhar. I am singing," he said, "I say Gadadhar." There's a difference. So in the future, you'll know. Anyway, I say this everywhere, but it's always, you're trying to fit the names to the music. But the name is all important. The music is secondary. Isn't it? The music is secondary to the name. Name comes first. Anyway, that's my story. My Prabhupada story for the morning. Now we're on verse 26, 27. Oops.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya yadatmanam yadatmanam avijnaya bhagavatam param gurum Purushastu visajjeta guneshu prakritihe svadrik.
Yet the living entity by nature has minute independence to choose his own good or bad fortune. But when he forgets his supreme master, the personality of Godhead, he gives himself up to the modes of nature. Being influenced by the modes of material nature, he identifies with the body and, for the interest of the body, becomes attached to various activities. Sometimes he is under the influence of the mode of ignorance, sometimes the mode of passion, and sometimes the mode of goodness. The living entity thus gets different types of bodies under the modes of material nature. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. These different types of bodies are explained in Bhagavad Gita. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jangunan karanangunan sango syat shad asad joni janmasu. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. Because of associating with the modes of nature, the living entity gets a variety of bodies from the 8,400,000 different species of life. It is clearly explained herein that the living entity has a little independence, indicated by the word svadrik, meaning one who can see his own welfare. The living entity's constitutional position is very minute, and he can be misled in his choice. He may choose to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A servant may desire to start his own business and imitate his master, and when he chooses to do so, he may leave the protection of the master. Sometimes he is a failure, and sometimes he is successful. Similarly, the living entity, part and parcel of Krishna, starts his own business to compete with the Lord. There are many competitors out to attain the Lord's position, but to become the Lord is not at all possible. Thus, there is a great struggle for existence within the material world as different parties try to imitate the Lord. Material bondage is caused by deviation from the service of the Lord and attempts to imitate Him. The Lord is imitated by Mayavadi philosophers who try to become one with the Lord in an artificial way. When the Mayavad philosophers think of themselves as liberated, they are under the delusion of mental concoction. No one can become one with or equal to the Lord. To imagine this is to continue one's bondage in material existence. So, this seems pretty far-fetched to us that we're trying to imitate Krishna, because we're reading all the time, like in the Krishna book, how Krishna kills so many demons. He does seemingly impossible things like jumping off a mountain. How high is that mountain? That mountain that he and Balaram, they just jump off the top, some 8 miles high or something like that. Prabhupada told me once that when he was in Switzerland, he saw a mountain 10 miles high, and he saw the ropes of wind attached to it that are attaching all the planets. Did you know, in 1977 he told me, he saw a mountain 10 miles high. From our vision, there is no mountain 10 miles high in Switzerland, but Prabhupada saw one. And he saw ropes of wind that attach all the planets throughout the universe, which is one of the methods that yogis use to zip up and around the universe. It's one method. Anyway, it seems incredible to us, because we're endeavoring to be devotees, that people are trying to imitate Krishna or are in competition with Krishna, because as endeavoring bhaktas, sometimes the word bhakta is used to mean a newcomer, you know, in our society. Oh, he's just a bhakta. I'm sure you've heard that. Oh, you know him, he's a bhakta. He's just a bhakta. I, however, am so-and-so das, disciple of so-and-so Maharaj, as if a bhakta is in a lesser position. Bhakta, there are three, there's bhakti, bhakta, and bhakta, there's service, the devotee, and the supreme to whom we offer our service. So a bhakta is not an insignificant or lesser position. It's a very rare position. Once in Mayapur, Prabhupada was talking about the Varnashram. Again, it was 1977. And Hari Sori was there, and I was there, and Satsrup Maharaj. So we were trying to understand Varnashram. And Prabhupada said, there's Brahmins, Kshatriyas, you know, like Vaishyas, Sudras. So Satsrup Maharaj said, then should we be dividing, shall we, or should we, as Vaishnavas, be dividing, and Prabhupada cut him off before he could finish. He said, as Vaishnavas, he said, you are not Vaishnav. He said, Vaishnava is not such a cheap thing. That was a lesson to teach us, that we assume so many things. But here, in this purport, a Vaishnava or a Bhakta, one who performs bhakti, is one who has transcended the modes of nature. Pretty incredible thing to do, since we're all dictated at every moment. We are dictated by the modes of nature. We're trying to escape that grip. That's what I was explaining the other day, that Maya, her name is Durga, And Durga also means fortress or prison house. And she has created a prison that is so wonderful in its creation that none of the prisoners want to leave. The door is wide open. Chant Hare Krishna and you gain freedom from the prison. But because we are so under the modes of nature, because the prison house is made up of the three modes of nature, Trigir, Guna, Maya, Sava. Bewildered by the three modes of nature, Trigir. No one can know me, Krishna says. So as endeavoring or aspiring bhaktas, that means we are endeavoring or trying to escape from the affliction of the three modes of nature. And the affliction of the three modes of nature really, I mean, there's adi-bodhik, adi-atmik, adi-devik, miseries that are manifest by the three modes and permutations of the three modes. But the most difficult one to overcome is the adhyatmic, the mind. Once we had a godbrother who married, he was a sannyasi, and he married a very old lady. He was a young man, 30, 31. He married an old lady, gave up his sannyas, and not for a beautiful young woman, but for an old lady. So I said, we're on a walk with Prabhupada at Mayapur. And I said, Prabhupada, how is it that he would do such a thing and marry an old lady? Prabhupada said, it is the mind. He said, if you allow your mind to say, I like it, you will do anything. And then he laughed and he said, even marry your grandmother. So there's the key point, the mind, like Srinathji was saying yesterday. The mind is the focal point of so many miserable things like greed and avarice and lust. Krishna says that the mind is the sitting place of these all these awful emotions. But the mind is also your best friend. What is that verse? The mind is your worst enemy or your best friend in the Gita? What is the first line? Bandhu Atma. I can't remember it now. Anyway, thank you. Your mind can be your worst enemy or your best friend. It can continue your ordeal, your torment in this world, if you allow it, by saying, I like it. Because the pig is saying, again, to quote Nathji, the pig is saying, I like that stool. An interesting story. Prabhupada was talking about discriminating in stool. Naram gu, sukam gu, sab gu, bhava. There's a Bengali saying. Naram gu, sukam gu, sab gu, bhava. Dry stool, wet stool, it's all stool. We see it that way, it's all stool. But the pig, Prabhupada said, when sometimes a meat eater is roasted by the Yamadutas, he's roasted on the fire, and then they start to feed him stool. And they feed him different kinds of stool. And when that living entity in the grips of the Yamadutas says, oh, this stool is not so good as the stool you fed me yesterday, then immediately, he said, you are placed into the womb of your pig mother. So those pigs that you see, of course, you don't see them so much here in Bombay, but you see them in the country. They were once human beings. Don't you become a pig. Don't become bewildered by the three modes. And that bewilderment is misuse of our independence. This is a glorious thing. Krishna gives us independence. That is the whole basis of love. We are not forced to love Krishna. We choose to love Krishna. Or we choose to love the material nature. We choose, which is really all stool. Isn't it? The whole world is just nothing but stool. We choose to embrace a bag of stool in the form of the handsome husband or the beautiful wife or the girlfriend or the boyfriend. We choose that. I want it. I like it. This is the key source of our imprisonment in the Durga, in the fortress. So that is misuse of our independence. And Krishna saying, come to me. Lord Chaitanya saying, come to me. Let's chant Hare Krishna. Let's eat Krishna Prasad. And let's go home back to Godhead. Prabhupada always said, back to home, back to Godhead. Back to home, back to Godhead. Back where we belong. We do not belong here. That I said the other day. Padama padama jatavi padang na te shang. We do not belong here. Here there's danger. At every step we may lose our intelligence and lose our minds, become crazy, and choose to stay continuing to eat the fetid matter of this material world. This is the dangerous position we're in. And all of it is due to misuse of our independence. Why? Because we're jealous. Ikshadvesha samutena vande mohena bharata. My dear Bharat, all living entities are born into this world overcome by the delusion of envy and jealousy. Krishna says that. Everyone. So then what distinguishes an aspiring devotee from a mundaner? The desire, the sincere desire, my dear Lord, for lifetime after lifetime I have been jealous of you. I no longer want to do that. I want to try to serve you under the instructions of my spiritual master. Because when you think about it, there is only one guru. That's Krishna, the Adi Guru, the original guru. And this message has come down through the ages. I was just reading that this morning. Vivishvan to Ikshvaku, Ikshvaku to Manu, and then it got lost. And then Krishna had to repeat it again to Arjuna. And look at the kind of the Prabhupada in that Bhagavatam first canto. He gives a description, just a little bit of the history of Arjuna. Jeez, he was qualified as a friend of Shaka. What is that? Shaka Hiche Bhakta Mishe Shakacheti. You are my devotee and you are my friend. Therefore, you are qualified to hear this. Because you're my friend and you're my devotee, you're not jealous. You're not jealous of me. Therefore, I will reveal myself to you. That is what Krishna is telling Arjuna. You are not jealous. You are my bhakta and you are my shaki. You're my friend. You can't have a friend if they're jealous of you. That's why all the friendship, mateship, as we say in Australia. Hey, mate, how you doing, mate? Everyone, they're very proud of their mateship. But But actually, all the mates are jealous of each other. Everyone is jealous of everyone else in this world. Everyone. But when you come to Krishna, to be qualified to be his friend and to be his devotee, to be his bhakta, to be a Vaishnava, the most honorable position, means that you are not jealous of Krishna. That you are using your independence properly. Otherwise, you're bewildered. Devi hi esha gunamayi mama maya dratya ja. Krishna says, this is my maya. He doesn't come under maya. It's my maya. Mama maya dratya ja. And it is impossible for you to overcome it. You may sit on the mountaintop and say, you may twist your body into all kinds of yogic asanas. You may become a big multi-billionaire. Used to be millionaire, now it's billionaires. If you don't have $1 billion, you're lesser. You may be beautiful. You may have so many material qualities that other people are jealous of. When they're jumping after you, they're actually jealous of you because, oh, he's a big man, oh, he's a politician, oh, he's the PM, oh, she's Hema Malini. At least Hema Malini used to be beautiful. Yeah. That's Bollywood, right? That's Bollywood star. So people, but they're actually jealous of you. Devi esha gunamami mama maya dratyaja. It is impossible to overcome this maya except mamevante prabhajyante mayamitang tarantite. If you prabhajyante, if you surrender to me, then you easily cross beyond it. So that surrender means to use your minute independence properly. We're all using our minute independence, but it's improper. And we're being battered by the modes of nature. So Devi Yesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dratya Ja Manevante Prabhajate Mayamitang Tarantite. You want to conquer over Maya? Then you surrender to me, Krishna says. And he promises you will be safe. Masuchaha. What is that verse? Ah, I'm getting so old. Alzheimer's, I think. Sarvam Dharmam Paritya, the most important verse of the Gita, I can't remember. Just see how the material modes affect you, especially when you get old. Of course, your mind, we're the same age, but your mind is much sharper than mine. You can do all those numbers. Sarvam dharmam pritya ja mame kang saranang braja ahang tvang sarva papibhyam. You'll conquer over all sin. Sin means misuse of your independence. That's sin. That's pap. Misuse of your independence. Maybe a big sin, maybe a little sin. Sin. And it is our sins which keep us here. And not only do our sins keep us here, we keep on sinning because we like it. I like it. You allow your mind to say, I like it. He said, you will do anything. Even eat stool. There are many human beings who eat stool, you know. You'd be amazed to find out. They think it's fantastic. Go figure. So we are aspiring devotees. We want to come to the point where we can surrender to Krishna with that full faith, just as Prabhupada had full faith. More and more every day, when I think about Prabhupada on the Jaladuta, with $10 and a bag of chira, because I eat chira every morning. I like flat rice, like Nityananda Prabhu. I eat chira with dahi, a little banana, a little mango, and a little sugar. Ooh, delicious, especially in the hot weather. But Prabhupada had a bag of chira, flat rice. Imagine going all that distance on a boat with $10 and a bag of chira, because he had no idea what he was going into, so I better bring some food. I don't know if there'll be anything to eat in that place, the United States, where everyone eats meat. Pretty much, everyone eats meat. And more I'm seeing in India, people are eating meat because they want to be like the Americans. They want to be the new crows. They don't even have to go to America. They can stay right in their country, and America, through the influence of television and the media, will turn your country, the most noble country, the country where Krishna appears, the country of the great emperors like Arjun, Yudhisthira, Bharat, Rishabhdev, noble, great personalities, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, like I was saying the other day. Who would ever have imagined that Lord Chaitanya would appear in Bengal, the land of CPM, CPML, Marxist-Leninist, CPML, Lin Pao faction, the land of Jyoti Basu? How can you imagine that God himself would appear in such a place? But he did. So Prabhupada went. He had that faith. He had that understanding. When you have seen the truth, you will understand. What is that verse? When you have seen the truth, you will understand that all living entities are but part of me. When you see Tattva Darshana, Prabhupada saw the truth. What does that mean? He saw Krishna. He saw the truth. Krishna is the absolute supreme truth. Prabhupada saw the truth. Why? Because the veil of Maya was not there for Prabhupada. The veil of Maya, the jealousy of Krishna, withholds himself from us because we're jealous. But Prabhupada, the true Param Bhakta, was not jealous of Krishna. So he saw Krishna. That doesn't make his journey any easier. That did not make the heart attacks any less painful. That did not make the obstacles that he had to face in America and in New York especially any less awful. But he had full faith in the order of his spiritual master coming down in that disciplic succession. We want to develop a little bit of faith like that. We don't want to put our faith in this Singh or that Singh or this Gandhi or that Gandhi, or this Bush or that Bush. We don't put our faith in the fallible soldiers of this world. We want to learn how to put our faith in Krishna. That's prabhajante. That is surrender. Devihi esha gunamayi mama maya dratyaja mamevante prabhajante mayamitankarantite. You will conquer over this material illusion if you surrender to me. You take the example of Prabhupada. All we can do as devotees, those of us who are diminishing in number, the disciples of Prabhupada. I was thinking the other day that, geez, here in Bombay and, you know, I guess other places, they treat you with such respect if you're Prabhupada's disciple. They treat you with such respect. It's unfortunate that we didn't treat each other with that respect when Prabhupada was, you know, our God brothers, our relations with each other was, sometimes they were a little rocky. If we had had more respect, that would have come if we had realized who Prabhupada was. But like Shyamasundara Prabhu and I were discussing yesterday, you know, it was hard. We didn't understand who Prabhupada was. Maybe we had a God, we just loved him, that's all. We knew that we loved him, and whatever he told us to do, we did it. Unquestioning. But we didn't do it because, oh, he's a pure devotee. We actually, at least I didn't really, you know, it meant nothing to me. What is a pure, you know, what is it? But all I knew was, you see, that spiritual potency that he had, that purity, that spiritual energy, everything was going on by his spiritual energy. Even though he might have been in Los Angeles, everything was going on in London. Arrangements were made for Shyamasundara Prabhu to meet the Beatles. How? By the energy, the spiritual energy of Krishna, of Prabhupada, manifesting through Prabhupada. But that does not in any way diminish the endeavor of those three Grihastha couples that went to London. They had to endeavor. They had to sneak in. They had to think of different ways to approach the Beatles. Isn't that the... You had to sneak behind the truck as the van pulled in the gate. So even though you may see the truth, even though you may be associating with the truth, a spark of the absolute truth in the form of Prabhupada, still, you have to endeavor. You have to struggle. Things are not easy in this world. It's not so easy to be a devotee. It's the most difficult thing in the world. You have to undergo derision from your friends, from your family, from society at large, from the people in the street, because everyone's jealous. Jealous means they are atheistic. Not only do they not know Krishna, if they hear of Krishna, they hate him. Just like Jarasandha, right? He was living right at the time when Krishna was here. Or Duryodhana. Krishna went and appealed to him to not have this war. He said, I know you're the personality of Godhead. I know, but I don't care. Now that's insanity. That's insanity. I know you're God. I know you're the supreme personality of Godhead, Vishnu, Narayan, but I don't care. I won't do what you ask. Krishna says, chant my name. Lord Chaitanya says, chant Krishna's name. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Kala Nasyeva, Nasyeva, Nasyeva. Prabhupada went to the West and came back to India. For what reason? Telling everyone, chant Hare Krishna. No, no, no. I will not. Jealous. Angry. This is not surrender. The sincere person says, this, how did Prabhupada describe his spirit, his meeting with Bhakti Siddhanta? He said, I was always thinking after that first meeting, I have met the nicest Vaishnav man. I've met the nicest Vaishnav man. So I should do what he says. Similarly, we have had the good fortune of coming into the association of Prabhupada, either personally or through the Bhaktivedanta purports, which are sublime. You want association with Prabhupada? You study these purports. You cannot have Prabhupada without the Bhaktivedanta purports. They are the same. What did Prabhupada say? They are the manifestation of my ecstasy. So they're very important, and we have to understand them and endeavor. I will no longer be jealous, or Prabhupada would say, jealous. I will no longer be jealous of Krishna. I must endeavor to be a bhakta, a very sublime and high position to be a bhakta. Do not take it lightly. It's a very elevated position. And as a bhakta, I will endeavor to surrender to Krishna and go back to home, back to Godhead, which is all Prabhupada wanted for us to do. He did not care about anything else. He was not impressed by anything else. He was only impressed by the sincere devotion of his disciples. He could have stayed anywhere. He could have gone to the best hospitals even when he was in Vrindavan. He said, no, I want the association of my devotees. That is the most important thing. So we have an opportunity here to associate with devotees. You're all devotees or aspiring devotees. And we have the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna and to become nice Vaishnava men and women. And by doing that, we will make great headway, progress in our surrender to Krishna, and we will conquer over the Maya, and we will gain release from this prison house of the material energy, the three modes, and we will become happy. Now we're miserable, but we will be happy. That was Prabhupada's assurance. That was his guarantee. Well, you see it everywhere. I saw it on the back of a car yesterday. Murlidhar, the devotee's dentist, are you out there? Are you listening on? Oh, there you are. I thought you might be listening on the phone. I didn't see you. On the back of Murlidhar's car, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Doesn't it say that? A simple message. Now people go mad. What? Chant Hare Krishna, be happy? You see how crazy everyone is. Prabhupada writes one purport in the first canto that this world, everyone is mad and no sane person can remain here. No sane person. When you tell someone, you chant Hare Krishna, you'll be happy, and they become angry. That's the devotee's job. No other job but that. Going from person to person, house to house, town to town, country to country, planet to planet, saying, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Surrender to Krishna and gain release from the prison house of the material energy. Hare Krishna. Any questions? No questions? Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu, for this very inspiring class. My question is, you mentioned that this material world is a stool house. Everything we do in this world is dealing with stool all the time. This is something which is known to us through Prabhupada's books and lectures. My question is, why, having heard so many times repeatedly that our association with this world is so evil for us, bad for us, is stool house, why over the years the attachment still does not go away and we keep on doing the same mistakes again and again and again, like a fool?
Because you're a fool.
Yes.
That's the answer. See how foolish we are. Even I had the association of Prabhupada, intimate association, where I was touching his body, where I was bathing him, where I was drying him, just like a deity, just like a murti, dressing him. Still, I was not able to continue steadily in my devotional practices. And I had to undergo so much misery, almost insane. But fortunately, by the mercy of Prabhupada, he pulled me back. Because I never quite let go. As much as I might have acted inappropriately over the past years, I never quite let go of Prabhupada. Or he never let go of me. Let's put it that way. Because we're fools. Bhoka. In Bengali, that means Ami khub boro boro bhoka. I am a big, big fool. Abhijananti mang mudha. Because you're a mudha. You're stubborn. You're a donkey. You even light a fire under the tail of the donkey, he won't move. What can you do? Isn't it? Even though we are defeated again and again and again. Charasandha was defeated once, twice, three, four. Every time he was defeated, his armies were wiped out. Every time he came back, I will beat him. I will defeat them. Isn't it? Stubborn. It just never. Finally, they had to rip him in half. Just to shut him up. Shishupal. Nasty. Nasty guy. Krishna is his cousin. Isn't he? Related to Krishna. Imagine being related to Krishna. And he's out there, you're this and you're that, and why are you naming Krishna to be the receiver of the what is it? Huh? Yeah, the Rajasuya Jagat, why is he the worshipable personality? Jealous, nasty guy. Finally, shut up. Boom, cut off his head. So jealousy, stubbornness, conditioning. We are conditioned. The only escape is sincerity. We pray for one drop of sincerity so we can conquer over this material nature. And if we receive that drop, I remember, we have to make ourselves receptive to it. In 1970, in the Los Angeles Temple, Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and he quoted Shakespeare, and I thought to myself, wow. Prabhupada was talking about mercy. And he said, as your Shakespeare-y, he called him Shakespeare-y, as your Shakespeare-y says, the quality of in The Merchant of Venice, he quoted the play, the quality of mercy is not strained, it droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven. So the devotees, Krishna and his devotees, are distributing the mercy. Lord Chaitanya distributed mercy. Lord Nityananda distributed mercy. But sometimes the rain, Prabhupada said, falls on the rock, it falls in the desert, and sometimes it falls on fertile ground. And when it falls on fertile ground, then there is action, and your bhakti lota bij blossoms. Brahmanda brahmite kona bhagavana jiva guru krishna prasad poi bhakti lota bij. The pure devotees of the Lord are distributing the seeds of love of God. But not every heart is receptive. So our duty is to pray to Krishna to make my heart receptive to the bhakti lota bij, so that that seed will blossom in my heart. That's the most we can do. That's all we have to do. And not be like Jarasandha and Sisupal and so many others. Like, who was it? The king of, who got his teeth bashed out? He was showing his teeth to Balaram during the chess game. Balaram kept losing, and he was getting more and more upset and agitated. And it was the king of Kalindi. Kalinga, Orissa. And he kept laughing at Balaram. Nasty guy. What did Balaram do? He took his club, boom, bashed his teeth out. Of course, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we're out on the street, or we meet someone who's really nasty, we shouldn't break their teeth. But just see, even in front of Balaram, so strong, Balaram could drag a whole city with his plow. He dragged a whole city. How did he do that? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's so strong, yet still, nasty, evil people, A-Vaishnavs, non-Vaishnavs, jealous, will laugh at him. So don't get your teeth smashed out. Rather, keep your teeth so that you can speak properly, as I'm speaking today. Thank you very much, Muralidhar. And glorify their lordships, Radha and Krishna. And what will be the outcome? Sri Akanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpatarabho Ruma Bhumi Schinta Manigana Maitayangam Ritam Katagana Natyangana Mamapi Priya Pansi Priya Shaki Chiranandam Jyoti Paramaritaramayamapicha Vajay Sveta Deepam Tamahangiha Golokam Yati Chang Vedanta Steshanta Kitim Virala Charaha Katipaya. You go back to home, back to Godhead. And that's a description of Goloka. Such a nice place. Hare Krishna. Another question? You had a question in the back?
Prabhupada once said that even if you cannot be 70% Krishna conscious, just catch hold of my dhoti and I have the back door key to Goloka Vrindavan. And at another time, once he said that unless one is a pure devotee, he cannot go back to Godhead. So can you elaborate a little bit on this?
Prabhupada said, just hold on to his robes. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
And I'll take you back to Godhead.
Yeah.
And, and another time he said, you can only go back to Godhead if you're a pure devotee.
Yeah.
All right. So how do we explain that, what appears to be a contradiction? You'll find many personalities who were not pure, who were touched by Krishna, became pure by being touched by Krishna. Like, who was that prostitute? You know, the old lady? Kubja. That's right, Kubja. He pulled her by the ears and stood her, and then she became lusty after him, and she invited him to her house of her brothel. So Krishna went, he embraced her, and by embracing her, she was freed of all lusty desires. Many demons, she wasn't so much a demon, but many demons became instantly pure by touching Krishna. Like fire and iron. When you heat the iron in the fire, it becomes red hot like fire. So similarly, by touching Prabhupada's robes, you become pure. You're connected with the pure devotee, and he can take you right into the gates of Vaikuntha, right through. By holding on to the robes, you also become, it's like an electric charge. You become electrified also. So hold on to those robes. Those robes, we can say they are a figurative description of the Bhaktivedanta purports. Hold on tightly to Prabhupada's instructions, and you will go back to Godhead. Even you may not be perfectly pure, He can deliver us. It's just like our present gurus. They cannot deliver us on their own. They can only deliver us to Prabhupada, who takes your guru and you and everyone else back to Godhead. That's the disciplic succession. Is that clear? Any other questions before we call it a morning? How can you understand? That how can you understand if someone is not under the modes of nature? That's the pure devotee. There are symptoms of the pure devotee. The pure devotee only speaks about Krishna. The pure devotee only hears about Krishna. The pure devotee only acts for Krishna. The pure devotee only thinks of Krishna. The pure devotee has no other work except to spread the mission of Krishna consciousness. Those are the symptoms of a perfectly pure devotee, and they are transparent. The spiritual master is the transparent via media to Krishna. They are always available. Prabhupada was always available. You never had any doubt about Prabhupada. You always knew he was there in his room. He was engaged in some activity for Krishna. A pure devotee only eats Krishna prasad. A pure devotee only travels for Krishna. A pure devotee's senses are enlightened. They're illuminated. A pure devotee's mind is like a deep, cool pool of water with lotuses. Their mind is peaceful. They're tranquil. There's so many symptoms. We think we have to spread Krishna consciousness by our own, somehow our own idea, that Prabhupada's methods were old-fashioned. We don't really, this is our problem, we don't really believe in Krishna. And we don't really believe that the whole world can function perfectly nicely if everyone surrenders to Krishna. Whereas Prabhupada never doubted it. They never had one doubt that Krishna is the Supreme. Have you ever had that moment? I've had it a few times. It happens for like, it's like a flash. It's called realization. But suddenly, you're walking along the street and you're thinking about, Krishna conscious philosophy, saying, and suddenly, it just all clicks. Wow! It's true. And you become stunned. And then you lose it. But it's that little teeny glimpse of the reality that there is a person who right now is playing his flute and enjoying like anything in Golok Vrindavan. And that he is arranging universes, are manifesting and being withdrawn into his body and the whole, everything's going on. I mean, it's extraordinary. And he's just dancing with Radharani and playing with the cowherd boys. It's mind-boggling. But the pure devotee knows that it's real and is never ever deluded by this material energy. The pure devotee has total faith in the Vedas. Prabhupada always, I remember in 1969 when he came from London to Boston, and we were in his room, this big house we rented for him, and his servant did not believe that they had landed on the moon when Prabhupada was in London. And his servant, Purushottam, did not believe that they did, because he saw on the television that they landed, he saw they landed on the moon. Prabhupada apparently, he never looked at the television, he just was looking that way, the television. So he said, are there trees? There are no trees? There are no rivers? Oh, that's not the moon. So Purushottam couldn't believe it. His whole faith was shaken. So in Prabhupada's room, he was leaving the next day, Purushottam. He was blooping. Prabhupada said, he looked at Brahmananda and me. He said, Purushottam is leaving. He said, he does not believe they did not land on the moon. He said, I can understand him doubting me. But how could he doubt the Vedas? These are some of the humility. I can understand him doubting me, but how could he doubt the Vedas? Full faith in the Vedas coming from Krishna. Full humility. Not feigned humility. True humility. True humility is potent. I know that probably Navji has had that experience where Prabhupada has met so many big, big, big men. And he's absolutely charmed them by his humility, his erudition, his knowledge of the Vedas, his sincerity, and his humility. They become just won over by his humility. That's a pure devotee. They never forget who they are and who Krishna is. We forget all the time. If we can remember, it's only once in a while. Because of our silly minds are always dragging us here, dragging us there. I know, I'm outside in the morning chanting Hare Krishna, walking back and forth here in front of the temple. And I'm thinking 8 million billion things. My mind's thinking of this. And I'm just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I'm not thinking about Krishna at all. It's very frustrating sometimes. But my mind is just taking me all around the world, all around the universe. I'm imagining all kinds of things. I'm this, I'm that. you know, I wish this, I wish that, I wish I had this, I wish I had that, if only this, if only that. Man, it's so exhausting. But Prabhupada was never like that. Prabhupada, a pure devotee, is never exhausted. That's one of their symptoms. They never suffer exhaustion. Mentally exhausted. I've got brain fatigue, man. They never have that. Any other questions? Hare Krishna.